Berlin Mayor and Council for Monday, November 25th, 2013. First, I'd like to invite everyone to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all for turning out on the coast evening of the year so far. And our first item on the agenda will be the approval of the regular session minutes of the November 12th. We have a motion by Council Member Lynch to approve the regular session minutes of November 12th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? I'll let the record show that it was a 4-0 vote to approve, with Council Member Brittingham absent. Next is the approval of the executive session minutes for Tuesday, November 12th.
Move to approve.
A motion by Council Member Lynch to approve the executive session minutes of November 12th, 2013. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. It also passes 4-0. The reason for the executive session was to discuss the appointment, employment, assignment, promotion, discipline, demotion, compensation, removal, resignation, or performance evaluation of appointees, employees, or officials over whom the town has jurisdiction. Okay. And also, we have discussed with contract, before a contract is awarded or bids are open, we discussed the matter directly related to negotiation strategy or the contents of the bid proposal. If public discussion or disclosure would adversely impact the ability of the public body to participate in the competitive bidding or proposal process. And also, let the record show that Councilman Brittingham has joined us just in time for item number two. And I've had an opportunity to have a lot of really neat presentations, it seems especially this last year, and this is going to be one of the most enjoyable. I'd like to ask Carl Bragg to come forward, please.
Sure. Good voting.
Stay right here beside me, Joe Lyon.
Absolutely.
Vote would be an easy duty compared to what you've been through. I'd like to make a proclamation, Proclamation 2013-21, a proclamation of the Mayor and Council and the citizens of the Town of Berlin recognizing Officer Merle Bragg, Jr. for his dedicated service. Whereas Officer Merle Bragg, Jr. has been employed with the Town of Berlin Police Department since August 1996. And whereas Officer Bragg is a citizen soldier, having been deployed overseas in support of his military commitment on many occasions, deployed from September 2001 through July 2002, from February 2003 to January 2004, and his final deployment was from July 2004 to November 2013. Whereas Officer Merle Bragg, Jr. holds the rank of Sergeant Major in the United States Army and is assigned with Headquarters and Headquarters Company of the 115th Military Police Battalion in Salisbury, Maryland. And whereas during Sergeant Major Bragg's deployment, he was sent to numerous locations, including the Pentagon following September 11, 2001 attack on the World Trade Center, and numerous overseas locations supporting Operation Iraqi Freedom in Iraq and Operation Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan. Whereas in November 2013, Officer Bragg returned with his civilian role as a Berlin police officer and is becoming acclimated to the town of Berlin and significant changes during his deployment. You know where all the streets are, they haven't been there. Now, therefore, be it known that I, William G. Williams III, Mayor of the Town of Berlin, on behalf of the Council and the citizens of the Town of Berlin, do hereby pay tribute to Officer Merle Bragg, Jr. for his dedicated service to the Town of Berlin in the United States of America, serving both here and abroad. Thank you so much.
Mayor, I've been on the council for over 5 years, and he has never been in the council since I've been on the council.
Thank you.
We're all very, very happy, very proud.
Thank you.
Can't tell you how much. There's just no way to express our appreciation, but you know, thank goodness that the good Lord saw fit to bring you back home. And the next item on the agenda is a public hearing on Ordinance 2013-06. This is an ordinance amending our parks regulations. I hereby open the public hearing on Ordinance 2013-06. Is anyone here from the state wish here to address the mayor and council? Is anyone here from Worcester County to address the mayor and council? Does anyone who is in the room tonight wish to address the mayor and council about any aspect of the proposed ordinance? Seeing no hands, I now close the public hearing and I would entertain a motion for approval.
So moved.
We have a motion for approval of Ordinance 2013-06. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion for approving Ordinance 2013-06 passes unanimously, 5-0. And the only comment is that I think after some good public discussion that we have addressed the updating of this ordinance in a way that I think meets the needs of the Parks Commission, the Police Department, the Zoning Director, and also I think makes it a fairly straightforward and simple process for businesses who have a valid reason to do business in the parks. Well, we have a very straight up and simple one, and it shouldn't be an ordeal for either the applicant or for us. And thank you all for all of your input in making this possible, and especially I want to give my thanks to the Parks Commission. Next is report from the U.S. 113 Citizen Subcommittee. Representing the committee is Patricia Dufendonk. Patricia, one thing would just so it would be if you would identify the 8 members of the committee. But some people know who they are and some people.
I'll be happy to. First, I'd like to thank you for letting me come before you tonight. I'm just here on behalf of our, I believe we're calling ourselves the Berlin. It'll be meeting notes.
Oh.
Thank you. Berlin Pedestrian Safety Committee. And see right there, Berlin Pedestrian Safety Committee findings and report. Our committee consists of myself, Sue Beeman, Gabe Purnell, Dr. Roxy Dennis, Lisa Hall, Dean Burrell, Chief Arnold Downing, and our town administrator, thank you, Laura Allen. And everyone has just been so helpful and available and involved. And the whole council, I want to first thank the whole council for coming to our meeting the other night. It was so meaningful to our community to have everyone be there. I wanted to let you know that our delegate, Norm Conway, was there, which really spoke volumes to everyone who was over at the multipurpose building, that he made the effort to come. We did get a call from Senator Mathias, but he was unavailable to come to our meeting, but he expressed his support. And just in general, the outstanding support from the community at large on this matter has just been overwhelming and has pleased me You know, I've made so many friends in the last couple of weeks. I didn't know that I had so many friends, but here they are. Anyway, I just am here to tell you about our meeting, and I'll try and make it as brief as possible. At the end of our meeting, we asked for comments from the community. And these are a list, which thank you, Laura, for kind of putting them together, that goes on. There's a lot of ideas that people had about what we can do to improve safety. You can see we have the intersection improvements. And the quote, which overwhelmingly, we want both sides of the highway, but all of our community to be connected. Better lighting at all the intersections. The correct line of sight. The pedestrians can't see the street lights. There can't be seen. We need to address the issues not only at Bay Street, but also at Franklin Avenue, also around Food Lion, Germantown, and Decatur Farms. People wish to consider a pedestrian under or overpass. They would like A lot of people want to add a light at Germantown Road. They want to use traffic cameras more extensively, install red light cameras. There are a lot of instances where people see people going through those red lights, and we want to stop that. We'd like to add pedestrian walkway signs at intersections, saying, before you get to the intersection, pedestrian walkway, or watch for pedestrians, just like they have in Ocean City. Install sidewalks at all intersections. As we all know, the sidewalks end before you get to the highway, so there's no safe place to walk. Pedestrians can't be seen, and they can't see the lights. They're talking about the signal lights, the red lights in the other opposite directions, and the cars. Design pedestrian features, including crosswalk signals with accessibility in mind. For instance, visually impaired folks or people who are handicapped, either having to use a wheelchair or using a walker. That there are many things that can happen to help this in mind. Add pedestrian push buttons so that the pedestrian can initiate the light change. Increase the light time to enable pedestrians more time to cross. If there's someone who's a slow walker, they have ones that can detect a slow walker. Prohibit right turns on red, especially at Food Lion. This, as we all know, sometimes traffic will just, people want to get into the line of traffic, so they'll cut off the pedestrian when the pedestrian really does have the right of way to cross at the green light. Another block was roadway improvements. Lower speed limit to 35 miles per hour. Add gradations of speed through the town. Like they do on Assateague Road, it goes down from 50 to 40 and then to 30. The same thing here, 50, 40, 30, and then back up to 50. Advocate for slower speed by setting the example. Personal accountability. This was a theme that people spoke of over and over again. We don't have to do 50 miles an hour. We can drive more slowly through our town. We don't have to speed up. We don't have to make that light. As citizens, we can advocate for ourselves and slow down. Rumble strips, we've tried that before. You know, people suggested it. We took down all of the ideas. The town should have control over the speed limit in our town, that we should have control instead of the SHA. That's another idea that people had. And place lights all along the road in the town limits so that people really recognize that you're in a municipality. The signage. These were ideas I hadn't even thought about. A welcome to Berlin, slow it down. A couple of people thought that maybe Berlin should just have welcome to our town, but slow down. speed and a sign that says speed monitored by radar, which we hope that it always is. Signs, people wanted to know, can they be added quickly? And that the town of Berlin perhaps could do this. We all know that we have to ask the SHA for anything that we do on the highway, but anything that gets things moving more quickly is what people want to see action. Also, because we have the intermediate school right there on 113, school crossings, I know that that's a big issue with the school board, but a warning sign saying we are at a school, this is a, flashing lights to say it's a school let out time, like they do on 589, or different places where the lights flash when the school's letting out or going in, so that parents dropping their kids off have at least a little bit of a detente. Education and outreach, and we know that this is not just going to happen by itself, that we have to do something to launch an education campaign, towns and schools, and we would need grants. We know that there are, look to Ocean City for models of how the state highway and community work together. Their Walk Smart program. There's also a Street Smart program that's in the Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area, which is really rather graphic, a little bit too extreme for those of us down here on the Eastern Shore, with some of their posters are a little bit too shocking for me, but it works. I guess they need that up in D.C. With this Walk Smart campaign, like they have in Ocean City, and make a YouTube video. Maybe we could connect with the tech school, and maybe it would be a good idea for a community service project for some kids to come up with, like the kids did in Ocean City. Many of us have seen the videos on TV where the teenagers got together and made videos, and it was got the kids involved. Ask organizations to get involved, not just businesses. You know, your church, your Girl Scouts, Lions Club, anybody, you know, we want everybody to be involved. And get letters from children, students, and add them to the petitions, which we'll talk about in a little bit. I know that you here on the council were greatly affected by the letters that were written by students to come and participate in National Education Week. That's the kind of thing, it really speaks to committee members who maybe don't have grandchildren or they don't know anything about our community. If kids, boy, they tell the truth all the time, or they know how to tell the truth anyway. For as far as enforcement goes, provide more enforcement, more control on the speed, because we all know that there are speeders through there. I know you can't get everyone, but boy, don't we wish we could. Increase the cell phone enforcement. Driver inattention, we know, is a big cause of accidents, and pedestrian accidents in particular. And police officers need to watch their speed when they're not responding to an emergency. This is a comment which I'm sure in private conversations you have repeated this over and over, but somebody actually said it out in the meeting. And it's not just our local police, but also the state police. We are concerned about their watching their speed. Provide more police department coverage at key intersections for town events, such as the parade coming up or Halloween. Very emotional comment from a woman about the Halloween, the children crossing the highway for the Halloween thing. And during these times, we would really like to find a way of encouraging more parental and community support. Be with your children, even your 12 and 13-year-old children. You need to be with your children to make sure that they're safe. We hope that older children, well, I call them children, but teenagers will be more responsible. But there's that tween age where they still need parental guidance, and we really want to encourage parents to be with your children and help them learn the rules. Really, parental guidance is a key. In our committee, we are trying to establish short-term goals. We're trying to focus on activity that will work and get involved in that. We're creating a call to action. Tell us who to email, how to reach out. Tell us how we can help. And that's what the community needs to tell the committee members. We're going to be talking to the SHA. We're going to be talking to the community at large. How can we help? What are the messages that we need to get out? Let us know. Don't just sit back and think that we're going to, that's why we had this meeting, because we don't have all the answers. We need you to tell us. And this meeting was a big step in that direction. We placed the petition on the town website, which Mary has done. We don't have an online petition where you can sign, but you can read the petition, which is important, and then you come and you sign the petition. We think that has more impact to have a signature. Request training from the sheriff's office to enable community crossing guards and or safety patrol to be established. Apparently, outside of the high school and middle school, there are guards who help traffic turn, you know, left and right, and they stop the traffic so that parents can come and go with a reasonable amount of safety. And if the kids have to cross to go over to McDonald's or wherever it is they go after school, somebody will stop the traffic so that they can go across. And we would like to have somehow work with the Sheriff's Department, because apparently that's who does the education on that and the certification. And we know that at some point there's going to be a new police department and the community center over in the property next to Bay Street. And we know that they have got to have safe pedestrian access. And that was mentioned also in our meeting. This is the community petition, which is out pretty much everywhere now. If you want to, I have more copies of it. I have the petition here tonight. If you haven't had a chance to sign, I have it right here. I'm going to be accepting that. I have copies also of the meeting notes. Thank you, Laura, for copying them for me today, and thank you for putting them together. I have copies of them if anybody would like to have them for their personal review. The community petition, I have that also. If you want to take a petition, I have one, and you know, you can take this home with you and get all of your friends to sign it. We're pretty much saying, if you've used 113, if you've you don't just have to be a Berlin resident. You don't just have to be a Worcester County resident. We kind of want it to be a Maryland resident, because we know that Maryland, they're the ones who have to allocate the funds. They're the ones who have to give the okay to the state highway administration to perform these tasks. It all has to go through their committees, and we want the people in Annapolis, and well, the whole state. We want the whole state to know that we're a community that's together, and we really want this done. I'll go ahead and read our community petition. Install crossings and reduce speed limit on U.S. Route 113 in Berlin, Maryland. Route 113 is a dangerous highway and has been the scene of 7 fatal accidents since the year 2000. U.S. Route 113 divides the municipality of Berlin. Traffic on U.S. Route 113 is increasing and will swell with the completion of the dualization project. Drivers seem unaware that they are traveling through a population center. At present, there are no pedestrian-initiated means to cross this busy and dangerous highway. There are neither visible crosswalks nor a safe place to wait for traffic signals. We request that the Maryland State Highway Administration reduce the speed limit on U.S. Route 113 through Berlin, Maryland. We request that countdown crosswalks be installed at both the Bay Street, which is Route 376, U.S. 113 intersection, and the Old Ocean City Boulevard, which is Route 346, U.S. 113 intersection. And this is the petition which is circulating now. Most businesses on Main Street have it in their businesses. So as our next 2 weeks, the busiest time in Berlin, they're encouraging people to sign them. The reception has been overwhelming. I would say it's better than 95% of people who've been approached who want to sign this, want to see this happen. I've never seen anything like it.
Great.
I've also included some safety tips. These are safety tips which I picked up from the Maryland Motor Vehicle Administration, which are on their website. I have copies of these safety tips also, which I encourage people to read them. I encourage you to be aware. If you'd like, I'll go ahead and read them off. There are two sides of this. It's for pedestrians and also for drivers. The first part, for pedestrians, walk smart. Be predictable. This is for the whole state of Maryland, not just our town. Stay off freeways and restricted zones. It's like Route 90 is not a place where pedestrians are allowed to go. Use sidewalks where provided. Cross or enter streets where it is legal to do so. Crosswalks and traffic lights don't stop cars. The walk signal does not mean it is safe to cross. It only means it is your turn to cross. Check to make sure that all traffic has come to a stop before crossing. Look before stepping past stopped vehicles. They may be blocking your view of moving traffic. Wear bright clothes to be seen day or night. At night, wear reflective materials. Always walk on the sidewalk. If there is no sidewalk, always walk on the side of the road facing traffic. Stand to the side of the road while waiting for the bus, and always stand at least 10 feet away from where the bus will stop. Alcohol and drugs can impair your ability to walk safely, just like they do a person's ability to drive. Try to make eye contact with the driver or drivers to make sure that they see you before you begin to cross. And this last thing is one thing I always try and tell young children. Look at the driver so they see, you know that they see you. They're not on the telephone. It is an integral part of safe walking. For drivers, do your part. Always come to a complete stop at the stop line. Stop for pedestrians who are in a crosswalk, even if it's not marked. When you stop for a pedestrian in a crosswalk, stop well back so that drivers in the other lanes can also see the pedestrian in time to stop. Be especially attentive around schools and in neighborhoods where children are active. When you are turning, you often will have to wait for a gap in traffic. Beware that while you are waiting for, watching for that gap, pedestrians may have moved into your intended path. Be extra attentive and slow down in school and work zones where increased pedestrian presence is likely. Keep your windshield clean for maximum visibility. These are all common sense ideas, but they're things that are worth mentioning and worth, you know, we really want to heighten people's awareness about safety. As far as reflective gear, our committee is looking into getting reflective wristbands. Someone had suggested lighted ones, but they're really expensive if you want to get a number of them. But we're going to be looking forward into that. Sources of funding are needed. We don't have a budget at this time. Grants or donations, I don't know how we're going to work that. We're going to be looking into that, but just to let you know that, and if you're interested, I have a few pieces of paper that you can look at about what they might be, but it's nothing definite at this point. And just a little thing, we can put a little sign on it that has a pedestrian walk smart on it or something like that that will, you know, give people the idea that you need to, it is a pedestrian thing, and you need to walk smart. You're not invincible. It's the body and the car together. The body always loses. The car, well, the driver loses too, but we don't want any more deaths. That's the big key. And that's pretty much it. Do you have any questions?
Well, first of all, I say excellent job, the whole committee and the citizens that turned out in an extraordinarily short time. I think you've done a lot of concrete things, and all these things are very thoughtful. They're what the state highway will be able to get approved. We'll let them do their job. One of the things I would like to do is have the pedestrian safety committee members meet with whoever state highway designates. And just have a presentation, very much like they do, very informal. The folks are live right here. They don't live, you know, hundreds of miles away. And I think that I'm very first of all, I think it's very important and very significant that you're looking at the entire corridor from Germantown Road and South Main Street through Bay Street and then on up to Maryland 346. That is Berlin. I mean, that's where the division goes from, you know, north to south, from one border to the other. So I think that can only be extremely helpful, because if we look at, you know, cars don't just, our pedestrians, our bikes don't exist at just any point, even though we all, I think, recognize that this point is particularly worrisome. the corridor, it's an excellent time. If we're going to take a look at one intersection, let's look at them all. I think another thing is that I would encourage, and I'm sure you'll get full cooperation from Laura and Mary, to put some of this information, the educational aspect, on our town website and make it easily accessible and visible from the home page. I think one of the, you struck right on it, that the ideas, they sound extremely thoughtful and practical. We have to allow not let the traffic engineers take their stand at. But the public education component is something that primarily is the community's responsibility. And I think we'll find support. I mean, Ocean City had a very successful campaign working with partners. I think we'll find, if we reach out to the Maryland Highway Safety Office, which is under the Maryland Motor Vehicles Administration, I'm confident that this is what these people do. This is what they get up in the morning to do, is to find ways to make our highways more safe. So I think we'll find support there, enthusiastic support. And I think that the educational component will have this initial period, but we'll have to find ways to make it, like I say, ongoing. I'm sure that the town will do everything it can to make sure that funding is available in any way we can help, if it's related to lighting we're willing to be active partners and not just folks saying, give us this, give us that. The other thing is that I think that from my viewpoint is that pedestrian safety and being aware of people on bicycles of all ages, I don't even think it was mentioned when I got a driver's license about 45 years ago. This is something that is for this area, for rural communities, is real now. I know my mother tells me that when she was young, many people after the Depression and during World War II and after World War II purposely would not walk on the sidewalk because they were afraid people would assume they couldn't afford a car. It was a different time, right? You gotta remember, folks who grew up during those hard times were scarred forever. And sidewalks weren't important. And the idea of people riding a bike to work or grown-ups and families riding together, that's a fairly recent phenomenon, especially for smaller communities. So we can't assume that the general population, regardless if they're a pedestrian, a bicyclist, or a driver, a motor vehicle driver, really know or aware of the things they need to be aware of. And so rather than just trust and luck and hope, being hopeful, I think the approach that you are taking is just right. I would like to, I'm reaching out now to the members to find out what times, the members of the safety committee, what times they're available. And then my hope and my expectation is that we'll get a meeting between the committee and State Highway certainly before Christmas, before the holidays, and at least have an initial meeting just to get the dialogue going and to let them know what you all have already accomplished and to get a team effort going here. I think this is what Berlin is best at, partnering and joining together in a common public cause. And I will say very, very openly, I agree with you. This is something we're seeing the entire community come together for a common purpose, especially bringing the community together over the highway that artificially divides us. Mm-hmm. We have to make the best of a horrible tragedy. And I think that there are not just pedestrian safety, but community pride, community partnership, and it's just as you said, getting so many more people in our community just to work together. When people work together, they almost always end up becoming friends, and if not close friends, certainly having mutual respect And all of this I see as a potential plus, and I think you've done an excellent job at starting. And I will, you know, like I said, after I've talked to all the committee members, I try to find a time that is as convenient for everyone as possible to meet and say hi.
I think that's wonderful. Thank you so much, Mayor Williams.
You're most welcome. Thank you. And again, please, I think all the members, I'm certainly very proud of the work we've done already, but I also want to thank the community for such a unbelievable turnout and the response since the meeting supporting this effort.
Yeah, it really is the community. They're the ones that are standing up, and we want the whole state to know about us. I mean, they know about us for a lot of reasons, but this is really wonderful, a wonderful reason to come together.
Anyone have any questions or comments?
Chief Brandt said it all. Just anything you need from us, and any meetings are coming up, to make sure we're all notified, anything you can do.
Oh, just as a, we are going to be turning in our petitions on December 9th. So we'll be here to turn in, as a reminder to anyone who has petitions out there, we need them all to come back December 9th so that we can get that stack, whichever one it is, but that's it. But these are two-sided papers, I just want you to know. Many of them are two-sided papers, so there will be, I'm just overwhelmed already, but I'm very excited about
the
support.
Well, it's all newspaper, man, and I have said, I think deadlines are wonderful. It gets things done. and also, I like the idea that you chose a day before the holidays, so that this can be something that during the holidays people can reflect on, and then we can go back to work early in the new year.
We can start the new year with a fresh start and a new hope.
Yes.
This is all about hope for a better future for Berlin.
Mr. Mayor, I just want you to know, last week at American Education Week, I spoke to Mrs. Marks, who's the new principal at Buckingham Elementary School, and we talked about this problem and what we were trying to do with this committee, and she had some of her teachers came to the meeting at the multipurpose, but she is putting together some kind of program for Buckingham, and she's going to talk to the other schools and see if they can't keep it all on the same page. So there is conversation going on in the schools. And then I also asked her about the old safety patrols, you know, with the little belts on, and she said, I hadn't thought about them in a long time, so she was going to kind of sort of look into that, too.
They used to, when I was at school, they were all the way down.
That was a big deal, the safety patrol.
Yeah,
everybody wanted one.
Charlie Brown's is on the safety patrol these days, so that's so I've been keeping track of it.
I did want to ask Chief, are we going to do anything special the night of the Christmas parade and the ball drop? Maybe on Bay Street now?
Nothing special is what we do. Again, we've been doing it. We did it on Halloween.
Okay.
We do it on Halloween again.
Want to explain what it is, because
whenever we have large groups of people that are transversing from one area to another area, we're going to go ahead and make sure we have a presence and make sure they get from one area to another area safely as possible with the group of people that we do have working. Again, when we either have 3,000 to 5,000 people, again, what we're going to have is not Bay Street as an issue. We're going to have many streets as an issue. And again, we're going to have to go ahead and enlist, which we've already done, our partners. And again, we already have a commitment from Rome State Police, the Sheriff's Office. We're making communications with Ocean City. And Pocomoke has already made commitments. They're assigned to go ahead and assist Snow Hill with their parade and Pocomoke with theirs. So again, it's a continuing effort. Education is going to be key, and we have to go ahead and find ways to go ahead and do that. And hopefully all the way leading up to the parade and all the way through the holidays that we continue doing that, not only with pedestrians, but again, drunk driving and all the other highway traffic initiatives that we've been doing.
Thanks. Thanks.
I have something to add to Lisa. At Buckingham on Friday, for school visitation, and the vice principal, Mrs. Smith, said it's been approved that the kids are going to take this as a project for after school, their after school project, starting the first of the year. It's been approved by the principal, and I think it's been approved by the superintendent.
Awesome. Excellent.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is such good news.
It just takes one school to get it going.
Well, but a reminder, it's not just the children. It's, you know, it's adults that really need, you know, to be reminded of the safety rules as well. So I'm glad that the schools are starting, but as adults, we need to remind each other, people who aren't here tonight, you know, that this is on our minds. I just advocate for ourselves. That was a big message in our meeting. Advocate for ourselves. Don't be silent about safety.
Yeah, a couple of things. I want to make sure, Laura, do you have a copy of the different materials that Pat has? I just want to make sure that we all get them, you know.
I sent you this later this afternoon.
So Laura will get it.
Yeah, she has. And she's the one who initiated they put together the meeting notes, so they have that. And
I'll have Laura and Mary coordinate with you about what we can do immediately. Mm-hmm. And, of course, as this develops, we'll see what more we can do in terms of communication, regardless if it's website, social media, whatever.
Wonderful.
And let's see, the final thing.
May I put in 2 cents?
Oh, absolutely.
Everything that's been said is positive. When it comes down to the state highway, to me, the key from the state highway is to get a stoplight at Germantown Road. That is an Indianapolis Speedway from Snow Hill forward. And when you look at that corridor that Gene described, the first thing you have to do is slow it down to stop a stoplight. Petition deals with pedestrian safety, but if you don't get that stoplight, you're missing a big step in the process. And that has to come from State Highway, and we have to work up to it.
I think you're absolutely right, Councilwoman Lynch. We see this petition as a beginning.
Absolutely.
As a place of really the bare minimum of what our community needs. And we know that the education program that we spoke of, that's going to be an ongoing measure. We have to refine education for our community. We can't just take Ocean City's walk safe.
And
it's all these things. And we, everybody, over and over again, yes, we want these things, but we really need, if you've ever been there in the morning or in the afternoon and seen school buses and cars and all of that, we know how dangerous it is.
And we've been on this mission for a long, long time.
And I think that
we've been ignored.
Well, I think they're going to realize that we are taking this very seriously. We don't take safety as just a light issue. We, you know, the slowing down we think is just an absolute important first step. But you're right. Long ago, I remember Josh, I think Rex was mayor, and when they started to, you know, make us turn on, when you have to go down to Germantown Road to make the U-turn to come back north, if you're trying to go north on 113, they at that time, they mentioned that they were going to put a stoplight there at the Germantown Road, and it just never happened. They put, you know, I guess the flashing light or something like that.
That's certainly been a step forward.
But
one thing, I think the difference is, this is why the community's participation is absolutely critical.
Right, and
it's
we can't give up.
It's not just a handful of public officials.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
It's not just the police chief. It's a community.
I think that's agree.
That's what I would just encourage. I'm extremely encouraged but extremely grateful for what's happened already. But this is just the beginning. The other thing I did want to mention to you is just as a councilman, Member Hall and Council Member Brigham noted the schools. We also have other partners out there who can reach adults and people of all ages, regardless of if you're seniors or whatever, and that's through our churches and our nonprofit organizations. We have a lot of good churches in this town.
Absolutely.
And they pay stormwater fees. So I'm sure they'll be very supportive. They'll be very supportive of this effort. It's for everybody's benefit. And we also have some excellent civic and nonprofit organizations.
Absolutely, you're absolutely right.
So let's we'll invite everybody and see where we go.
I think that you're right. The cooperation. I think when people hear about a problem, they say, "What can I do to help?" And that has just been overwhelming. And I didn't expect it, but that's what's happening. And I think we can continue. And I'm glad you reiterated our concern about the Germantown intersection, because that is a great concern to everyone who lives on 113, because you know the traffic is so fast.
When you get there, you're entering our town.
Yes. Yeah. And absolutely.
Down right there would be a good spot.
I mean, your dad had an accident there.
My father almost died there.
Hmm. Everyone has a story about traffic in Berlin, and we don't want to hear any more of those stories. So, well, I really appreciate all of your time and attention. I don't want to keep you all here all night. Is there any other?
You're very good at this.
Well, thank the Peach Festival for that. Remind you.
Thank you again.
Thank you so much.
And we'll be in touch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sure. You've got my number.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Next we have the departmental reports. First, the Deputy Town Administrator, Mary Boland.
I have two items this evening. You may recall some weeks ago, several members of the town staff attended a meeting in Snow Hill with... it was actually Worcester County putting on the meeting with FEMA, which is clearly undergoing a remapping process of the old floodplain maps. The county has just announced that it will be holding an open house on January the 16th at the Government Center, and it will be from 6 to 9 p.m. While this is the county open house, and the town will also be making plans to hold its own, FEMA will be present at the county open house. We do not believe they will be present at our open house. Maryland Department of the Environment may be, but not FEMA. The meeting in Snow Hill on January 16th is probably going to be the best opportunity for town residents, citizens, as well as the mayor and council to go take a look at exactly what FEMA is planning. They will apparently also have computer workstations there at which individuals can sit, look at the data, look at the mapping, interact directly with FEMA about. So it really is a prime opportunity for people to take a look at this new floodplain process. Again, the town will be holding their own meeting, but it really is strongly recommended if they can be present in Snow Hill when FEMA is there, that would be a very good idea.
Obviously, again, another thing for the website.
Yes, and the county will be putting out more information, and I have asked them to please keep me in that loop so that I can get the information out from there.
Excellent.
They would like us to let them know how many people from our jurisdiction are planning to attend. So probably this is January 16th, so we do have some time. But over the next couple weeks, and then as it gets a little bit closer, I'll probably be emailing each of you to ask if you plan to be there, just so that we can give them a head count.
Okay, great.
The other thing that I have been working on is, as you are aware, whenever a new census is done, obviously every 10 years, usually about 3 or 4 years later, they get down to the fine-tuning of the census data for municipalities. Late this year, we finally did get that information for Berlin. I met with a representative of the Maryland Department of Planning last week. She and I sat in this room and looked at the boundary lines, looked at the census block numbers, and started working on some plans to present to the Board of Elections for redistricting for 2014. What looks like the schedule that we're looking at right now is that she will have those plans back to me, and these are draft plans, back to me by December the 6th, which is a Friday. I'm going to try to meet with the Board of Elections the following week to show them the various plans, get their input on it, at which time we can also continue to do some tweaking if they feel that's necessary. What I would like to do then is the following week, which is the week of December the 16th, is to hold a work session, which would be open to the public, but the primary purpose would be for the Board of Elections and the Mayor and Council to look at those plans together and hopefully come to a single decision that can then be presented for formal adoption in January. The County Board of Elections would like to have our final plan by mid-January. We can probably do it. It may be a squeak to get it in there by then, but I think that it can be done. But the important thing would be to have that work session between you all and the Board of Elections. If you would like, I can suggest that we set that meeting date right now for the 16th, which is the Monday, at 6 p.m.
And of course, I think that makes sense, especially given the fact that we don't have a regular council meeting.
Exactly. I don't want to put it off until January, so.
Yeah, December. So how does the council feel about having, a work session, meeting with the Burlington Board of Elections to hear their draft proposal or the recommendations, mm-hmm. and also any other information they want to provide to us so that we can begin consideration of redistricting for the next election?
Correct,
and
yes.
From what I understand from your comments, that we need to have whatever plan we approve, ideally, and we should set as a goal having it to the county by mid-January.
Correct.
So when do you want to meet? Do you have an idea?
December 16th.
What time?
For a work session.
Yeah, 6 hours?
6
okay with everyone?
6 p.m.
Okay, let's make it 6 p.m.
On the 16th.
And if you don't mind, just send everybody some reminders.
Yes,
so it makes sure we all.
And this is contingent. The representative from planning did feel she could get the information back to me, and then I could meet with the board. But should that change, obviously, I would let you know. Hopefully, it would only necessitate maybe moving the meeting by a couple of days rather than a week.
Are we looking at anything significant?
Well, there have been significant population changes since the last redistricting that was done in 2004. At that time, I'm not going to try to tell you what the population was. It's at least about 1,000 citizens. So then the difference then becomes what your ideal district size is. And because of changes in population, changes in building developments, the districts have become significantly skewed over the last 10 years. And so we do need to bring those districts back into.
It had to be with a plus or minus a 5%, is it 2%?
5% is the goal. You want to have all of your districts within 5% of the ideal. And at this point, for instance, I can tell you that the current ideal is 1,124 residents, citizens, per census. At this point, one district is at something like 1,198, while one is at 732. And it's just the natural occasion of the numbers over 10 years. So they definitely do need to be adjusted.
Decatur
Farm had a big impact, yes. Yes, that would have been significant.
Very good.
Okay. I will certainly remind you of the meeting for the 16th. And as I said, should that change, we'll try to find a mutual date.
Data that you can get to us before the 16th that we can
cogitate. Yes. Unfortunately, I can't get to the kind of detail that the Maryland Department of Planning does. They have software that is created to manipulate the census blocks and move them in and out of districts. It's incredibly makes it very easy when they're sitting with their computer and able to do that, something that I couldn't imagine trying to do without the software. But I can definitely give you all of the data on exactly how those populations break down within the districts. Yes.
Now, should it be our expectation that there will or will not be any drafted boundaries? How far do you think the electoral will be at this point?
You should have at least two draft plans to look at, which are draft boundaries.
In color.
Yes, definitely in color. And they're really very detailed as far as exactly where those lines are. There's no... at points in the past, we've had to split streets in half. We may still have to split them side to side, one side being in one district and one in the other, but we won't have that kind of...
I don't like that. I have...
It's unfortunate.
One of my district, one side of the street is...
Yes. It's unfortunate. When you look at the census blocks, unfortunately, there's just no other way to do it. Those lines have to go somewhere.
It's not a unique local place.
Yeah.
At least I think we try to keep them as contiguous as possible.
Yes.
Okay, good. That's great. That's great.
And obviously, if there are any questions about the process in the meantime, please let me know, and I'll be prepared to answer as much of that as possible.
When can I expect to get the numbers following the press?
As I said, the representative from planning expects to have everything to me by the 6th. At that time, they will be not only the maps, but also the numbers that accompany them. And I can give you those that information as soon as I have it. Okay. The Board of Elections will not have met yet, but once I have that information, I will certainly share that.
Good. No reason not to. Good.
Right.
Thank you. That's it. Next, we have Public Works Director Mike Gibbons.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a PowerPoint presentation to share with everybody on the submerged gravel wetland on Flower Street. This project was necessitated because of the additional impervious concrete that we added on Flower Street. This is the beginning of it there with the excavation. This picture here shows the 6-inch piping that was connected all together, which is the discharge after the water goes through the gravel system. That larger pipe there is the pipe coming into the system, which intercepts the water on Flower Street, and then this all gets filtered in through this gravel and in through these pipes here. This is all perforated 6-inch pipe. It gets so it picks up the water after it goes through the stone, and it discharges out. These are just different intersection points where we had to pour concrete blocks to support the joints and the intersections. Again, it's another it's the end of one of the runs. This is the finished product here. All the work was done by town staff, with the exception of we had to hire a horticulturalist at the end to come in and help us obtain the plants and then instruct our employees as far as planting the plants. And this is the outfall right here of where we had to connect into the existing pipe coming out of Flower Street. And then there's another picture that will show that's the finished product, but there's another picture, I think it's the next one now. I apparently don't have it on there, but it shows the outfall that after it goes through the whole system, the 6-inch pipe coming out into the drainage ditch. The next picture is Maple Street. That is from Elizabeth looking down towards the apartment complex. That is where we did the patching. Next picture is Elizabeth Street going to the west, shows the sidewalk and the new pavement, and I think that's another picture from Flower Street, new pavement and sidewalk.
Excellent. Well, it's a big difference. Big difference would be if you put the original picture next to the finished one. It's like a different street.
Both of these were completed on November 15th.
Excellent.
A question on the drainage. Is there any plans to put any kind of fencing around there?
Any what?
Fencing.
There wasn't any plan for that. I mean, it's not going to have any water in it. It's not going to have any standing water. So that's not a issue as far as somebody drowning or anything like that.
Yeah, I was just, in my day, if I was a kid, I'd be in there.
There's no women around there that's going to open their back door and tell them to get
it. No, there's nobody in that area. But I know if I was a kid, and I don't know if kids do the same thing now, but I would be inside that thing pulling something out of it. That's the thing on my mind.
Vandalism.
Well, we should. You know, are you talking about people actually, kids
yeah. crawling in the bike? It's a good play area.
Well, all that top stuff is going to go away and deteriorate. It's going to be grass, right?
Right.
That's just a cover right now.
The curlex, yes. The pipe that's coming, the biggest pipe that's coming out of there is 15-inch pipe. So I guess a small child could get in the pipe.
It's heavily, we have a lot of kids in that area.
I think why don't we do this? Why don't we keep an eye on the situation? You might check around to see what if anything, is done in other areas where we certainly can't be the first place to have this potential problem. And I want to make sure that whatever we do is based on, as thought out as possible. And also, though, I want to say, I don't want the town putting up chain link fences all over the place. Because when we have stormwater conveyances all over the town, it would just destroy the entire ambience of the town. But just take a look, and I want to thank the Public Works for doing this job. I mean, this is something that was done in-house, and I think it's a perfect example of how Public Works and Water Resources work together to make this stormwater utility possible. Because we promised folks that we weren't going to be hiring a whole new department, but that we'd be hiring a couple people, which is what we did. And the cooperation, the partnership between these two departments is what's going to either make this so-so or very special. So thank you.
You know, by passing it every day, I kept looking for professional people like that working, but every day I was like,
there they are. You get mad at that one.
It was a town every time. And, if you go by there now, yeah, it looks like a professional town.
It is.
Well, it is a professional job, right?
But I think that's, you know, a part of, you know, we want to be as self-sufficient as we possibly can, especially with things that are manageable and within our scope. And also, too, obviously, it gives me great confidence about the ability to maintain the stormwater system that is at its early stages of maturity.
Great.
Thank you very much. Do you have anything else?
That's it. Quite, thank you.
That's quite good. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. That's good.
Make what happened to you looks good. So it's pleasing to see a level street with that indentation. It's really pleasing.
The people on Schoolfield want to know when we're doing this. I had two people come out and say something to me one
day. That's a big difference years ago. Yeah. You have to go around, and, you know, just 5 years ago, knocking doors or see people at the festivals and all. And there's hardly a month go by if you go to us, when do we get our when we get our
and I think it's wonderful.
Because that's community pride. That's community pride. And you know, I keep telling them, it's going to happen. We're trying to do it in some sort of orderly fashion. Okay. Next is that Water Resources Director, Jane Kreider.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Last week we did the water and sewer connections for the new home on Palatine Avenue. This week, being a short week, we're trying to get the meters read before the rain makes it into town. And this will be the last week for spraying at the Liberty Town spray site for the season. We are able to spray at the new spray site all winter long, providing the temperatures are above 40 degrees.
In a normal winter, that'd be most of the time.
Most of the time.
That'd be
exactly.
Great.
That's your magic number, 40 degrees?
Yes. I mean, technically it's supposed to be freezing,
but
we've had occasions
no
with
the
wind. Exactly. With wind chills and so forth, we've seen some crystallization at higher temperatures, so we set our own.
Yeah.
Instrument making machine.
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, it's such a nice feeling to know that we have that it's there.
It's absolutely there. It's a great relief.
And the lagoon.
To be able to know that we're not going to be under the gun come springtime. That we'll spray throughout the whole winter.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you very much. Next is Electric Utility Director Phil Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have a few things to report on. In front of the Atlantic Hotel, we had to relocate two streetlights there for the State Highway Administration. I had several business owners come by while we were doing that, and they were very happy to see those lights being moved out of the sidewalk. If you haven't had a chance, both the lights are on the inside of the fence now, on the Atlantic Hotel, so they're out of the sidewalk completely. Atlantic Hotel did give us permission to move them inside the fence too. That's been completed. Also, the foundation for the wind turbine at the Rains property has been installed. It's a 8-inch flange pipe that has a bolted top on it. And they had to pour the concrete around it, which was about 7 feet in the ground. That's been installed, and they're waiting on the pole to arrive. The contractor's picking the pole up that's working for Mr. Richards. We have the generator at our shop with the blades and the tail fin. We're keeping that indoors just to keep it safe. once the pole gets here, Doug Richards is actually going to fly here and mount the generator on top of the pole on the ground before it's set. So that'll happen. The pole should be here in the next couple of weeks, but I'm waiting on the contract on that. Also, the Christmas tree has been installed and all the downtown Christmas lights have been installed. We ended up turning the lights on Friday because of meter reading this week, and plus they were calling for bad weather. We normally wait till Wednesday, but since that was about the forecast, we said, okay, let's go ahead and turn them on now.
I think it was a very good decision.
Right.
It looks great, and it helps to bring the people's holiday spirits into play. And can't see where there's any harm in that. And I'm glad you did that rather than risk doing it during bad weather or the last week.
Yes. And then we had meter reading this week. And unlike James' department, we jumped on it a day ahead of time because they're calling for bad weather and tomorrow night. So we started today.
Great.
Thank you.
Excellent. That's good news on all fronts, and I appreciate it. And next is Police Chief Arnold Downs.
Good evening. Been in constant consultation with State Highway on a variety of issues, definitely about 113, but we've also consulted about the crosswalks right near Buckingham Intermediate School, and great dialogue. They're pushing forward with that and lighting on 113. So again, with the concerns on 113 themselves, other concerns have been brought to the forefront, and we've had very good response from State Highway all the way through that process. The last week has been very busy. We've completed all in-service for the officers for this calendar year and all of the annual firearms training also. We've also had the opportunity to go ahead and train for the last couple weeks at the academy, the entry level, so I'm real proud of the guys assisting the academy with the education of the new officers. Other than that, we're just getting prepared for all the events this week with the tree lighting, and working with all the other departments to go ahead and make sure that happens in a safe and efficient manner.
Great. That's great. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Next is Planning Director Dave Englehart.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Council. I don't have too much tonight. Generated by Mary Bowen's work with Maryland Planning and the election districts, we had some irregularities with the map of town, mainly between digital and paper maps, wall maps. So it was a good thing. I went down Snow Hill, had several meetings, one last week and one this morning, between the assessor's office and the GIS technical services director. I think they're going to be able to help us with a regular maintenance of our town maps, which we need to do whenever we go to, say, do Mary's work for the election districts, or a new comprehensive plan when that comes due, and all the utilities, town utilities, this could help us. And I think instead of having to go and create our own department for it, if size warranted that, I think we can cooperate with them and they can help us a lot more than we can help them, to put it that way.
Well, I put that.
I had a positive meeting this morning,
good.
And I think that's that was good news to me. I mean,
but I know our philosophy, everyone up here, is partnerships with good partners. And you know, sometimes they're able to help us more than we can help them, and sometimes it's the other way around. And you know, I think to me, it's ancient thinking to think that any individual, any business, any nonprofit, or any town, or any other government, division of government, can take on the world. You take on the world, guess who's going to win? But if you take on good partners, I think the possibilities are just about unlimited.
It sounds like they're eager to do that.
Great.
There may be something we have to do, some kind of letter of understanding, and that'll come along.
Great. Just tell them, be sure to express on behalf of all of us.
Already she said she would create paper maps for me and aerials for me. So she could contact me and I could pick them up. So at least we would have. And she was able to resolve the questions that Mary generated, the questions really for me to run down a little bit. And we figured it out kind of. But she was able to confirm those for me today. So that was good. I also was impressed with the U.S. 113 safety committee. I attended that meeting, and I think that's, you know, if we can help you, let us know. We have the petition on our counter in the planning office, so. And again, Mary mentioned the FEMA meeting that's coming up in January for the firm map. And tomorrow, the new computer you approved for our department gets installed.
All right.
Excellent. So thank you again.
You're most welcome.
That's all I have, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Next is Human Resources Director Jeff Fleetman.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. The things I have to report about are kind of dry, but they are the victim of the time frame. I can't believe we're nearing the end of the calendar year. It seems like we just sat here and did that. But I have a number of year-end reports that I'll be starting on in the next week, 10 days that have to be compiled. I also want to share well in advance for you all as well, January 13 of 2014 at 10 a.m. here, Ernie Crowfoot from Kent County will be here to do ethics training with all of our supervisory staff and our department heads. And Mayor and Council are cordially invited. And light refreshments will be served. So you let me know what you like. We'll see if we can make that happen.
That's Monday, January 13th?
January 13th of 2014, yes.
Great, thank you.
10 a.m.
10 a.m.
And I'll send something out, but I wanted to give you just a heads up. And then we did complete, I think today's Monday, we completed the end of last week, the rounds of interviews for the Main Street coordinator. A candidate has been selected, but I'll let Michael do the roll out on that.
We can tag team on that. See how I'm next.
Sure. Just roll right into it.
Okay, I'll roll right into that. It was an awesome project. I've never been involved with that. We interviewed 10 people, all well qualified.
How many applicants did you get?
45. Ten we brought in, and three, we narrowed it down to three, which I thought all three were great, but we narrowed it down to one that I'm really thrilled with. She has a certificate in event planning from Montgomery College. Has a BA in graphic arts from Salisbury University, has traveled around and is well entrenched in this community, left the area, came back because she loves the community, has been involved with since 2009 with event planning over in Ocean City. So I think the more I was around her, the more I felt she's confident, and it started to come out how confident she is in her abilities.
And tell everybody her name.
Megan Houston. I know it. I was just checking on you. So, and also while I'm on that subject, Joya Canfield has started this past week as the new director of the Berlin Chamber of Commerce. And she's a real go-getter, a real crackerjack, I think.
So the two of them should be able to complement each other very well.
Yes, they should work very well together. They'll both be in the chamber, and I think they'll play off of each other and help things move along to take us to the next level.
Great.
That's what we're seeing.
Great, thank you.
Also, I've got some more.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
So what else is there?
Jumping in on what Tim talked about, the lights being moved. The crew of that sidewalk crew have been phenomenal. I know Mike's been working with them, and I've been over there several times meeting with them. There was a gala at the hotel last Saturday, and they were just wonderful to work with. The crew was on top of it. The Habitat Gala was very concerned about what was going to be happening and all that, but that crew bent over backwards and made everything just work smooth. Everybody on Main Street has said how nice they are to work with. It's been a.
Would you and Laura work up a letter and co-sign it and send it to the appropriate?
Tomorrow.
Because sometimes that way the folks that they work for.
We'll
know how cooperative they've been.
Okay. There's a merchant meeting tomorrow night at the Globe. I don't know if weather permitting of all the big events coming up. I think that's the indoor event that might be canceled, looking at the weather. Tree lighting, the weather looks good for that. Christmas parade, the weather is real. It looks like it'll be warmer than last year, so looks like that'll be very good. We talked about the chamber and the interviews. My last thing is, Berlin is now in the top 10 for budget travel's coolest small town in the country. And there are lots of ways out there voting for it, and you can vote every 24 hours from your phone, from your computer at home. Vote as early and often. That's what we want to say. The easiest way right now we have found to vote is to go to the website MDS, which is Maryland's coolestsmalltown.com. And I'll send out an email with that link tomorrow morning. And it we'll put it on our Facebook. I think it's on our town right now.
It's on the town
Facebook. Well, Ocean City's sharing it today, and yes. I've been voting, and I've been sharing it on my page. But we're almost number five. If people would start voting, we could get national recognition on
that. Well, the voting...
It stops Tuesday.
There's maybe 100 towns in this right now. And the voting closes in a couple weeks this Tuesday it closes for the top 15. Then it continues to get the top one into February. So I think, there's a couple towns that have just got thousands of votes. And I think if we can stay in the top 10, it would be great.
We're
if we can get in the top five.
From number five.
If we can shoot for number five, that's the idea. But it is really neat, and I think we're on to something. So.
Great. Pat in charge of it. She seems to do a good job.
She's
not got anything else to do. I'm just teasing you.
I will say thank you, Lisa Challenger, and her social media person that they hired this year. They've been pushing it out there. Lisa's been beginning to advertise this. It is on a number of websites. Ocean 98.1 talks about it every morning. So we are gaining traction on this.
I was surprised. WBOC was in town, and Lisa Challenger was speaking. I was looking for you to come up from the background.
I'm on WMDT. Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. Every Sunday you'll find me there. That is another thank you, Lisa Challenger. That's Beach and Beyond on WBOC. They do that. And she also has Beach and Beyond on WMDT. Yeah, it's she is a great partner. We're very lucky to have her and her money.
Very good. Excellent. Does anybody have any questions for Michael? Okay, next is our town administrator's report.
Before I start listing the purchase orders, I want to let you know that the desk that you approved at the last council meeting has been delivered and installed in my office, so it's from my, if you haven't seen it. Check it out. Thank you for that. So the town administrator's report for November 25th, 2013, following purchase orders, you have in front of you purchase order number 1600 in the amount of $6,504.57 to Ferguson Water Works for air relief valves for Force Main. Purchase order number 1234 in the amount of $2,166.92 to Curtis Engine for emergency work on generators at Franklin Knoll, Decatur Farms, Schofield Street, and Police Department. Purchase order number 1539 in the amount of $1,104.48 to Elliott Wilson Trucks for maintenance on Public Works Truck number 33. Purchase order number 1618 in the amount of $1,288.20 to Wainwright's Tire Center for tires for Public Works Truck number 33. Purchase order number 1338 in the amount of $1,115.20 to Rain, Sand, and Gravel for Crushed Stone for Submerged Gravel Wetland, located on Flower Street. Purchase order number 1532 in the amount of $3,250 to Atlantic Pumping for Emergency Response and Cleanup at Door Store for a paint spill to be reimbursed by a contractor. Purchase order number 1643 in the amount of $1,400 to Home Depot for two-stage compressor and extended warranty. And purchase order number 1642 in the amount of $1,040 to East Coast Underground for directional bore for new electric service at 12A Carlton Avenue. Developer to pay for contractor services reimbursement.
Does anyone have any questions for any of the eight purchase orders as presented by Laura?
Jay, explain about this paint spill.
Certainly. It wasn't really a spill, so to speak. A contractor was hired by the owners of your store to seal the canopy over the gas pumps. to seal it and then add a layer of paint on top. They did it on that beautiful day that afternoon. That Thursday, it was about 65 degrees. It was beautiful. Evidently, though, they didn't listen to the weather, and all the reports were calling for rain the following day. And the curing time was 24 to 48 hours, and they probably had less than 20 hours before the rain started. And so the epoxy coating as well as the paint started, just sheets of white were covering, coming off of the canopy over the tanks, and was entering the storm drain system. Tim saw it when he went to get gas first thing in the morning, called me. I went immediately, and it was an all-day event from 7:30 till about 8 o'clock at night. It was a challenge. It was our first response to a stormwater event of that kind of thing.
Would they have notified you if Tim hadn't?
Absolutely. No, but you know, I will say there were several calls to MDE, and they in turn did contact me, and I'd already contacted them, but eventually we caught up with each other, and but there had been several other phone calls to MDE in response to people noticing that. I mean, the cars were getting completely white. And even though there were sheets of white paint coming down, people were still driving through it and getting white all over their car, Sharon.
I remember Laura sent in the email, and I really couldn't picture what the deal was.
Yeah, we were fortunate. We were quick to react. We got sandbags. We had sandbags from last year's hurricane event when we were trying to secure some places like Branch Street and so forth, so we had kept those sandbags. So we bagged or blocked the storm drain that goes underneath 113 so that the water couldn't migrate and make it to Trap Creek. We were fortunate we were able to do that, and then it was just a matter of continually cleaning up, because it was a relentless rain.
Yeah.
It just kept coming and coming and coming.
It was that day, it kept raining and raining and raining.
Yes.
Don't you think people are getting a little knowledgeable now, reading and learning about how dangerous it is and paying attention?
I really do. I think the education's been out there for a while, and I think people are really starting to pay attention to the environment around them. And when something like that, they know that, hey, something's not right here, and they make the appropriate phone calls. And I think that's what we've been striving for. So I think
where were the calls to MDE coming from? Berlin citizens?
Yes.
That's great. Very good. Any other questions regarding that administrator's report?
I just wanted to add that the entire cost of the cleanup was much more than this. Our truck was only, we haven't even, this was just for the private contractor. Ours is probably an additional $4,000 to $5,000 on top of that, because it was, like I said, it was a 13-hour effort with multiple vehicles. And
thank goodness we have the truck.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, goodness.
We charge for our time?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. Move to approve the aid purchase order presented by town administrator.
All right, we have a motion by Council Member Burrell to approve the aid purchase orders presented by town administrator. Or Allen, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. I don't have any comments. Any council members have any comments you'd like to make?
I just have one thing quick. Worcester Youth and Family sent me an email today. Lauren Mathias has a group of girls that she's gotten together called the Sages, but I don't know what that acronym is.
Is that the Adolescent Girls Encouragement Strengthening?
Okay. But they've decided, they've been so moved by what's occurred with the highway and everything that they have ordered wristbands for the family, you know, in memory of the boys, and they're going to be donating whatever money they receive, and they're going to start selling them during the Christmas holidays and like donate gas cards to the family. And they also have a child in Worcester Youth and Family that's got some health issues, and they just thought maybe gas cards would be good. But it's nice that these young girls in the community are getting together and, you know, being positive. And it's hard getting youth involved in community activities.
And they volunteered to do this.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. They did it themselves.
Thank you. That's great.
If I had to say anything, I want to piggyback on something Mike said about the highway crew that was in town. I had quite a few business owners in the town talked about how sensitive that crew was to their operating hours and trying not to impede their business. They were really pleased. They expressed real appreciation for those folks being concerned about their operation, and I thought that was a good thing.
Great. Thank you.
I'll get to on that because three people on William Street, one I work with sometimes, she's very particular about her front yard, and a couple other people that I just ran into, they were talking about how nice the men worked in front of their property, and a couple of things that they asked for, they actually got it. I mean, they came through and did it the way they wanted to do it. And speaking on behalf of the family that had the young man that was funeralized the other week, the high school sold T-shirts with his picture on it. And all the high school kids that attended the funeral wore those T-shirts. And, of course, the papers had a lot of input. And also one of the teachers at Stephen Decatur over the weekend invited all the kids to come to her church in Salisbury, and they had a memorial service for the young man.
Thank you. Do we have any comments from anyone who's in attendance here tonight wishes to address the mayor and council on anything or questions? Do we have any comments or questions from the press? All right, and I just want to make sure that everyone has a safe and happy Thanksgiving, and especially be careful with the inclement weather, and then hopefully we'll all be safe and sound. And I think this year, given all the town's been through just recently, we should be especially grateful and thankful that we live in the community that we do. So thank you, and have a good and a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Stay in church. Thank you.